Okay, so this week's parasha, Parashas Kisetze, is a lot to talk about, a lot of mitzvahs. If anyone noticed, it's actually our sugya. The whole sugya of Einus Umafata was in this week's parasha, as well as Gittin V'Kedushin, which we learned here before. So it was a very jammed pack parasha on a from a Gemara standpoint. I just want to mention an interesting ha'ara from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that to think about it, I never dawned on me, but he asks it one way. I'll add a little bit to his question. He says, Sefer Dvarim was a speech to the mass. Everything in Sefer Dvarim was really for the mass. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to the mass, to a large gathering in front of the Jewish people, to talk to them about what they need to know to be a community. So asks him, Yaakov, so why does marriage work its way in? Marriage is not a communal experience. Marriage is two families get together and they make a shidduch. What does it have to do with the community? It's a good drush if you have to speak at a Sheva Brachas. So Rabbi Yaakov asked that kasha, and I will add to Rabbi Yaakov's kasha. It's such an important mitzvah. Why does the Torah wait till Parashas Kisetze to tell us about it? You would have thought somewhere earlier. Puravu is way earlier. The mitzvah of marriage is all the way at the end of the Chamisha Chumash Torah. I don't understand. It's the essence of Judaism. It's the beginning of the building of a nation. How is it not mentioned until all the way at the end of the parasha? So Rabbi Yaakov gives an answer. Rabbi Yaakov says, because marriage is a community experience. It's not just two families get together. That's how you build communities. When two families come together and they start another family, that is something that's relevant to the tzibur. That's why the tzibur is mishtatif in the simcha. That's why the tzibur is involved in the simcha, because it's a community-based experience. I would add to Rabbi Yaakov and say maybe that's goof for why the Torah waited till the end. What's the whole parasha of Sefer Devarim? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us how to live a life, how to behave, what we need to do. And then the Torah says, okay, now it's time to get married. After that long drush of Sefer Devarim, where we were getting all the advice and tidbits and guidance, now you're ready to realize what it means to get married. You have to behave a certain way, you have to act a certain way, you have to be a certain type of person. So that's bedafka why the Torah waited till the end of the Chumash almost to teach us about the mitzvah of getting married. There's a pasuk in this week's parasha. It says, "As biti nesati lishazeh." Right, when the man comes and claims that his wife was Mizana, so who comes to Bezin? The father. And the father makes a declaration, this was the man I gave to my daughter. So when Reb Chaim Moizer was about to get engaged to his soon-to-be wife, she was the granddaughter of Rabbi Saul Salanter. That's really yichud, right? So Rabbi Saul Salanter was told about the shidduch, and obviously Reb Chaim Moizer was amazing. He was a big Talmud Chachim, he was an Eloi, he was everything. Rabbi Saul Salanter said, I'm not agreeing to the shidduch until I see he's a mensch. I want to know that he's a mensch, because that's the most important thing. The fact that he's a big Talmud Chacham is all fine. And then it doesn't help me. I want to know he's a mensch. So he said, that's Pshat HaPasuk. He says, beat this out. This is the guy I let my daughter marry? The guy who turned around a few years later and was accused of being Mezana? So you got to be careful with who we let marry our daughters. You know, not just every guy comes along who knows how to say Shtikol Tayin Rama means he's a good husband. I always tell my Talmudim, I guarantee you one thing. Knowing how to say Pshat Rama will not make you a better diaper changer. I can tell you firsthand. You don't change diapers better because you know how to learn a Rambam. You don't do nothing is better because you know how to learn. You're not a better father, husband, any of those things because you know how to say a shtickle tayr. You're better if you're a person, you're a gavra, then you can talk. You know, they say a girl went on a date and she came back to Rav Pam crying. She told Rav Pam, I don't know if he's a lamdan or not, but I know one thing, he's definitely not a ben tayr. And Rav Pam was so bothered by that. Because that's the problem today. Everyone is how does he know how to learn? You know, someone once called me up, what's his style of learning? That's going to make him a better husband if he learns the Brisker style versus he learns the Reb Shimon style. It's ridiculous, these things. These things are not going to make him a better or worse person. So that's what this expression is telling us. What's really important is all the things that Moshe Rabbeinu talked about. Good midas and how to interact and what type of person. Well, that's really what's going to make a difference. These little things that we over-dramatize are really not going to make such a difference. But so the best word I heard over Shabbos, someone told me, B'Shem the Chazanish, that someone read a Shidduch and the Chazanish, they told the Chazanish about the guy that he's a lot of Yerushimayim. So Chazanish says, how do you know he has Yerushimayim? Did he ever go to work yet? Mom's a gevaldik. A guy sitting in yeshiva learning 3 stars a day has a lot of Yerushimayim. Whoopee. Big deal. Guy goes out to work and he has Nisyonis of Mominis and he has Nisyonis of this and then he overcomes that. That's Taki Yerushimayim. I think it's a very profound comment. You know, we throw around that term also. Everyone's a Yerushimayim. Everyone's a going. Everyone's a Yerushimayim. Everyone's got everything. Do we really know? When a person, until he's actually tested, we have no idea. Yerushimayim is not a simple thing. The Gemara says to fear Hashem is not a simple thing. So it's an important lesson that the Torah leaves all the way to the end of the parsha. Interesting, this Thursday is when Moshe Bik's Yartzeit. So those who listen to our Chumash, we quote him quite often in his Sefer Chayim Moshe. Moshe Bik grew up in Mezhibush. So for all you Hasidic followers, you know that's a big Papio town. That's the town from the Baal Shem Tov. So when Rav Bik left Mezhibush to come to America, so they found him years later in America. They asked him if he remembers the cemetery Mezhibush where the Baal Shem Tov's kever was. And he did. And based on his testimonial, they redid the cemetery in Mezhibush where the Baal Shem Tov was buried. So Rav Moshe Big came to America in the late 1920s. He learned in Shiva Sobeni Yitzchak Chonin. So last year I made this comment. There was an article written about him, and they left out where he learned. They don't want to mention that he learned there. I don't know. I think that's ridiculous. He was a chayzer for Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in YU in the early 1940s until Rav Moshe Soloveitchik died. So Rav Moshe Big was a big talmid chacham. But perhaps the best story I heard about Rav Moshe Big, someone just told me this yesterday, a fellow in my shul who lived in the Bronx, and his family was very close to Rav Moshe Big. And Rav Moshe Big came to his father's house on a very hot, sunny day. And he was in the cemetery before. He was very schwitzy. So the host asked Rav Moshe Big if he wants a hot tea, because the host drank a lot of tea. So Rav Moshe Big looked at him and said, I don't want a hot tea. Maybe you have a cold beer. So Rav Moshe Big said to him, very normal, down-to-earth person. If anyone's ever spoken to him, he was a big Paisik. He was a well-known Paisik in Klal Yisrael. His yard site is in Mr. Shem this Thursday. I would like to wish a special Mazel Tov. That's why we don't have the Zoom on today, to Moshe Lehman. And his wife, they had a baby boy yesterday morning on Shabbos. So he's usually on our Zoom, so I didn't bring the Zoom today. So I wish them a Mazel Tov. They've been on our Zoom since he moved to Passaic with his wife. They used to live locally, and they moved. And he's been on the Zoom almost every single week. My kids already know him. They said, I saw his face on the Zoom every single week. So we want to wish them a very special Mazel Tov on the birth of a baby boy, both their parents, his parents and in-laws. I think are members of the shul, if I'm not mistaken. The Davenir members, I don't know exactly how it works. I'm not sure. So I wish them a very big Mazel Tov. Okay, just one last Ha'ara, being that this is the last, we're getting towards the end of the summer, so I have to end a little earlier, definitely leave at the end of the year. We have the big family vacation planned. You know, we try to vacation between the shurim, so we got to go out between now and Tuesday to be back in time for the shir. But I think, the shir manager might not be happy, but my house manager, my wife, already decreed that I think Tuesday night we might have to do it on Zoom, because I don't know if I'll be back in time to be back here. Plus, the Tuesday attendance has been a little low the last couple of weeks. So, Mr. Shem, Tuesday night halacha shall be on Zoom, and we'll have to try to. I hope to finish the sugya today, but if I run out after shir, please don't be insulted, or it's because if I don't get home, I won't have a house left to come back to, so we'll have to try to. And I don't think we're going anywhere exciting. We're going to New Jersey, okay? Nowhere too exciting.
This weather?
And that's where we're going, I know. Our luck. And we're not even going to Florida, nowhere exciting, nowhere too fun, just to get away, change the scene. Okay, so we left off over here in the Gemara. We're trying to understand Kim Lebe de Rabbi Minei by Chayvi Krisis. So we learned about the sheet of a Nechunya ben Akana. Also, believe that the next week we're going to move on to a new part of the sugya. So this is really just a one-time shir, and we're going to move on. So the Gemara has like this. Let's start from the Gemara. My time the Nechunya ben Akana. What's the reason for a Nechunya ben Akana that holds this Kim Lebe de Rabbi Minei by Chayvi Krisis? I'm a Rabbiya. Next week we'll get to Rav's Prayer. This week is Abaya's week. Amar Abaya, Nemar Asan Midei Adam. It says the word Asan when referring to acts of done by mankind. Nemar Asan Midei Shemayim, and it says the word Asan in acts that happened from God. Ma Asan Amar Midei Adam, just like acts that happened, the word Asan, when it's referred to things that happened by man. Part of Minatashvum India, there's a rule called Kimle. Af Asan Amar Midei Shemayim, so to the word Asan, when it's found in the context of an action done from Hashem, and you also have a Torah Tashlumin. What are the two awesomes? If you drop down to Rashi, number two, Zakrashi, awesome b'day adam v'lo yeh awesome. The pasuk over there, which is referring to if a man will hit a pregnant lady. Awesome means a casualty. Something bad happens. So over there it says the word v'lo yeh awesome, there won't be a casualty. Zakrashi, d'mishtoye b'misas bezdin. Over there the pasuk is saying that there won't be a casualty because the man who hit the pregnant lady will not get death by Bezdin, lemeimar dehecha deleka mises Bezdin, because if there'll be no mises Bezdin because he was accidental, he didn't mean to push the pregnant lady in front of the train, it was an accident. So then there's lo yeh asan, he doesn't get mises Bezdin, then he has to pay the dmei velada. So you see that the word asan is used when referring to an act done by man, right? This man will not get killed by Bezdin, and the word asan is referred to by mises Bezdin. Then it says the word asan bidei shemayim. Where does it say the word asan bidei shemayim? The karohu asan. When Yaakov is reluctant to allow Yehuda to take Binyamin back down to Mitzrayim, because he says, "Pen yikra'enu asan." Maybe an asan will happen. What's an asan? So the Gemara assumes that didn't mean he was afraid that someone was going to kill Binyamin. He was a thought that Hashem would take Binyamin away, like Hashem took away perhaps Yosef, which we'll talk about in a second. But the Gemara thinks that asan didn't mean from a human being. That asan meant from Shemayim. So you have the same word asan. So the Gemara wants to say, so Ibn Chunya ben Akana says that you see from here that the word asan is found by heavenly acts, the word asan is found by human acts, so we have the right to learn one from the other, and if one has kim lebe d'ram minei, the other has kim lebe d'ram. That's the Gemara's drash. So now let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Says the Gemara, one second. Mask flor of Adabarava. Mimai. How do you know How do you know what Yaakov was telling his sons was that I'm afraid to let Binyamin go back to Mitzrayim because something from heaven might happen? Now the Gemara gives, what's an example of heavenly act? Sinu mupachim, extreme cold, extreme heat. So the Gemara assumed right away that the asun that Yaakov was referring to was a heavenly act. Says the Gemara, how do you know? Dum al aryeh v'ganvi. Maybe Yaakov was very practical. He was afraid to let Binyamin go down to Mitzrayim because along the road to Mitzrayim he can get attacked by a lion, he can get attacked by robbers. That's what the Gemara is going to come back to. So at this point in the Gemara thinks that's not heavenly. That's Bechira. Some guy decides he wants to hold you up. That's Bechira. That's not heavenly. That's what we're going to develop in a few minutes. So the Gemara says, how do you know the word also means Shemayim? Frak the Gemara, Dilmal Aryeh v'ganvi v'adam ninu. How do you know what Yaakov was worried about? So the Gemara says, no. Otu Yaakov, aha azer, aha lo yazer. Well, you think Yaakov made a chesh in his head, you know what? I'm only afraid of X and Y going to happen. I'm not afraid of the other things. The Gemara says, no, akol mili azar. He was worried about everything. Yaakov anticipated that there could be things from man, there could be things from God, everything and anything could go wrong. That's the Gemara's
thing. So
at least Asa means includes the Shemaim as well. So the Achrayim over here are a little troubled by what was the Shakla V'tayah, the Gemara over here. What was the Kasha, what was the Teretz? So before we see that, take a look in the bottom 2b. There's an interesting Ritvon Baba Basra. The Gemara says, and you know what, we'll come back to this Ritva in a second. Let's see the Pnei Yeshua for a second. Zok to Pnei Yeshua. What was the Shakal of Tayin the Gemara? The Gemara had a Kasha. How do you know Yaakov warned his sons about Tzina Mupachim, heavenly things? Maybe he warned them on human things. And the Gemara says, yeah, he did both. What was the Havamina and what was the Maskana? So the Pnei Yeshua explains very Gishmak. He says, nearly, the Rav Adar Rav Asava, Rav Adar Rav comes in with the following assumption. The Mistoma Loi Hoya Mazil Labon of the Milsa to be the Shemai. Right, Yaakov couldn't have said, you know what, I also want Binyamin not to get struck by lightning. I also want Binyamin not to have a heart attack in the middle of the road. You can't control that.
That could happen here also.
Exactly, it's uncontrollable. So therefore, Zakta Pnei Yeshua, the Bidi de Shemaim de Imkein, Eich Mekabel Yehuda Arvis, Bedovish Shem Bidyo. On top of that, how can Yehuda accept responsibility for something which is unacceptable? How can I accept something which I can't control? I can guarantee that I take Binyamin back to the time and he won't get struck by lightning. How do I know that? How can you expect any human being to accept achrayis or something which is uncontrollable? So today we have insurance. Insurance covers even the craziest things. But a normal human being can't accept achrayis or something which is out of his control. I can make sure he doesn't wander off. But I can't control that comes from Shemayim. So therefore, Zokt, we have Adar Barava. So what was Yehuda saying and what was Yaakov saying? No, Yaakov wasn't worried about heavenly occurrences. Ties into the yom. Says the Pnei Yeshua because that's destined. That he can't control. If lightning strikes him, that's uncontrollable. But, so what could he do? And then he has another svar, says the Pnei Yeshua. He's a shluchei mitzvah. So what was Yaakov so nervous about? He was nervous about the typical things that happen in travel. You have bandits, you have animals, and that you don't have the het of shluchei mitzvah because that's called shchichi tvei. Seems like not, right? We're going to talk about this.
What shchichi tvei?
Very common. So the Gemara has a rule that things that are very common, we don't say shluchei mitzvah in nizaka. Or if it's shchichi hazeka. Right? A person can't jump into a burning building and say, oh, I'm going to get saved because I'm going into doing mitzvah. No, the Gemara just says you don't have that. So therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, so that was the Havamini of the Gemara. So the Havamini of the Gemara, so what was Yaakov saying? Yaakov must have been saying, I want you to take upon yourself those human-based things. So what's so good? That's very geschmack. So what's the Gemara's answer? He accepted the non-controllable things also. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Vazel Kibol Yehuda Shapir Arvis Kedisa B'Medesh Apasik Yehuda Gavur Ba'achiv Amay Bnei Ayas Listim Yachlani Latzila. So that's the Gemara's cash. So again, according to the Pnei Yeshua, what the Gemara thought was that what Yaakov was telling Yehuda, I'm nervous about typical things. I'm nervous about the danger of the road, and I'm nervous about what happens on the road. And Yehuda says, Dad, I got that covered for you. Now, he was not worried about heavenly acts. He was not worried about Binyamin dropping down from a heart attack or Binyamin getting hit by lightning or something like that. And that Yehuda was able to be makabel. That's a normal thing. So what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara answered, no. Yaakov was worried about everything. Why was Yaakov worried about everything? What did Yaakov want to do? Yaakov was worried that the abnormal is going to happen. Zok to Pnei Yeshua, v'hametaritz. And what was the Gemara's answer? T'mishani otu aho azer, akol mili azer sova de be'emes nenesh Yehuda alkach. The way that Pnei Yeshua learns the Gemara is that the Gemara doesn't end nicely. Oh yeah, Yaakov wanted everything and Yehuda did a good job. The Gemara says, no, Yehuda was wrong. Yehuda had no right to accept such an arvus on himself. So Yaakov wanted the one to accept responsibility for all things that can happen to Binyamin, and Yehuda said, I'll do it, and that was wrong. Yehuda should have never accepted such responsibility, because it's impossible. You can't be responsible for that, that's not in your control. Which means Avada Yaakov did that, and Yaakov wanted that, but Yehuda was wrong for accepting it, because that was beyond your capability.
Was Yaakov wrong for even asking for it?
What was he testing it?
Saying Yehuda was wrong for accepting it, then how would Yaakov...
I guess Yaakov has the right, as a father, can demand what he wants, but I guess Yehuda was the one for accepting upon himself. So that's the Pnei Yeshua's pshat. The Chassam Sofer has a different pshat. Again, everyone's trying to understand over here, what was the Shakal Vataya? Again, the Gemara thinks that Yaakov was telling Yehuda, I'm worried about things that come from man. The Gemara says, no, he's worried about both. So says the Chassam Sofer, a different pshat. He says, Yesh loyim ad ha-makshin havi savir luhu, Reb Yaakov, Reb Adar held like this, meditol le Yaakov chshosha dilei ba'achiv meis. We're trying to get into Yaakov's mind. What was Yaakov worried about? So says the Chassam Sofer, Yaakov writes, Yaakov says, the Torah tells us, he was worried that his other brother died, Yosef died. He was afraid that Binyamin will die the same way Yosef died. Now, how did Yosef die? The Yosef at least according to Yaakov. Yaakov thought that Yosef died with human involvement, because it says in the pasuk Tarav Yosef. At this point in the Gemara says Ganvi ve'Aryeh b'dayadam. The Gemara is going to flip it in a few minutes. But at this point in the Gemara holds that animals and peoples that attack a person, that's not heavenly sent. You can protect yourself. Get a shotgun. You know, you can get a shotgun and shoot the animal, right? You can control yourself. We'll come back to this. There's a lot here to unpack. So the Gemara says, so that was the Havamina. And therefore what? So Yaakov was never thinking about heavenly things. He wasn't thinking that maybe Binyamin will die from lightning, because why would I think Binyamin will die from lightning? Oh, maybe he'll die like his brother. How did his brother die? His brother died from B'day Adam things. So that's very good. So what's the Gemara's answer? And the Gemara's answer was like Rashi and Chumash. Says the Chassam Sofer that what was running through Yaakov's mind wasn't just what happened to Yosef, but it was what also happened to his wife, the mother of Yosef. How did Rachel die? Sudden heart attack. Sudden heart attack, that's Rebbe Deshamaya. So he says like this: Shigam ima meisa b'derech, and his mother died in the road. Vavli chazaga shall trace him ni ima v'achiv meisa l'derech. It's already two times. V'hainu taima the ore of Yehuda esanah. So now we understand why Yehuda was able to accept responsibility, right? The ore of Yehuda esanah did the yoda b'nafshu shloim meis Yosef, because Yehuda knew that Yosef didn't really die from a human person, ala derech. Avagav di yisari le mikro loy toiv, even though it didn't end well, become okay in redeim le mikro ima shemesa. He knew Yaakov didn't drop dead. He knew that there's no chazok, as long as there's a gemara over here, according to the Chassam Sofer. The ein elu ha mikro is machzikin zeh zeh. Meaning Yosef, Yehuda said to himself, I'm not worried. I got one mother who died from a heart attack, and one brother whose brothers attacked him. Binyamin's safe. There's no chazaka that shows that Binyamin's in danger. So I can accept responsibility for him. Deva says, Chassam Sofer, he writes, Harachti b'mnei Shavi'isi b'mnei Yeshu, Dvorim Bazeh. He says, I was marich in this pshat because I saw a Pnei Yeshu which I don't like. Dvorim Bazeh lo yashu b'enai, b'mechilas kvoidai. I don't like the Pnei Yeshu's pshat, so I said my pshat. That's what Chassam Sofer writes over here. V'ama'ayin yivcha. And though who looks into it, you'll choose which pshat you like better. Okay, so the Chassam Sofer says he likes his pshat better than the Pnei Yeshua's pshat. You know, once you say Mechilas Kvoid, you can say whatever you want. That's what I've learned. Now, Mechilas Kvoid, this guy, you know, whatever it is. But in any case, so the Chassam Sofer has a different take on it. So the question over here is, what was Yaakov thinking, and more importantly, what was Yehuda thinking when he accepted the responsibility? Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. This is a side point. Says the Gemara, the kasha that everyone's bothered with. V'tzidim u'pachim b'dei shemayim minu. What did Gemara say? That there's two categories. There's something called Bidei Adam, something called Bidei Shemayim. Bidei Adam is lions and kanovim. Bidei Shemayim is cold and hot. Bidei Shemayim is cold and hot. Frek the Gemara v'atanya, we learned at a brisa. Hakol Bidei Shemayim. Everything is heavenly decided. Chutz mitzinim upachim. Except for cold and heat. Shenemar, it says the pasuk, tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh shoymer navsha yirchak mehem. If you want to protect your soul, you just distance yourself from them, meaning it's controllable. It is not heavenly decided. Everything else is heavenly decided. This is not heavenly decided. So why does the Gemara say that Tzimu Pachim is B'day Shemayim? A person getting a cold is not decided by Shemayim. A person getting a cold is decided by his negligence to properly, you know, dress or to properly wash his hands or not touch people, whatever it may be.
And what's Pachim? Heat stroke?
Heat, some heat-related issues, right? You know, if you drink water, you hopefully won't get sick. So then the Gemara says, Vesu, the other kasha, Aryeh v'ganvi b'dei adam ninu. Are lions and ganovim from man? From the day that the Beis Midrash was destroyed, Sanhedrin was closed. Arba misas loy bottle. The four misas were not bottle. Fatimah loy bottle. A bottle, of course they were bottle. If there's no bezdin, there's no mises bezdin. So the Gemara tells us a big yisayit. Elo din arba mises loy bottle. The concept of the four capital punishments were not bottle. Misha is chayv skila. If a person is chayv skila, so either oinoifim and agak will fall off a roof, or a chayyad or sase or a wild animal will attack you. Misha is chayv sreifa. Someone's supposed to be burnt. Oinofim with leika, he'll die in a fire. Oinochim machisha, or the venom of a snake. We'll get them and burn them up inside, Rashi says. Umisha is chayv herega, someone's supposed to be killed. He'll be given over to the government. And we'll see Rashi explains. Oy tova benor, he'll drown. Umisha is chayv chenek. Oy tova benor, oy meis besar nchuni.
So the Gemara. That's the big thing, no?
Or listen, boy no love, he's going to have robbers. So what do you see from the Gemara? That everything comes from Hashem. What are you talking about? That the fact that a guy gets mugged on the corner is because Hashem decides he's going to get mugged on the corner. So why are you calling that b'day adam? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella Epach, I gotta switch everything around. Ah, yeah,
it's still Bidei Adam.
Why? So we're going to talk about that. So we're going to come back to that. So the Gemara answers, Ella Epach, you gotta switch the whole Gemara. Ah, yeah, Ganvi, Bidei Shemaim Ninu. Being attacked by a lion, that's Taka, heavenly sent. Sinimu Pachim, Bidei Adam. Sinimu Pachim is up to you. Sinimu Pachim is up to you. Everything else is uncontrollable. If a person is destined to get, it's going to happen no matter where, what, how he goes. That's the way the Gemara seems to read. So let's try to understand this Gemara. So first of all, there's a Mordechai Ritva on Baba Basra, number 2b. The Ritva writes, when the Gemara says Tzidim Upachim, so we translate to mean Han and Kot. So the Ritva says Pirish. Lav Dafka. It's not only those two things. Elohu Adim Kol Dover Shiyochel Yishomer. Anything that you could prevent. Keep going. Shochel Dvar Mamazikim Esaguf V'Kiyotzibot. We kept on saying heart attack. Heart attacks are preventable, perhaps. Eat well, lower your cholesterol, exercise. Maybe that's also considered, you can control that. I would venture this, maybe something like a cancer. I don't know if there's studies on how to prevent getting cancer. I don't know if there's a way to do that. But I don't know how much
you can't prevent
that. I'm not so sure, right?
You can lower
right. I think that you can lower the chances, but I think with a heart attack, they say, even though there are people that get heart attacks that seem to be healthy.
Everything's lowering chances.
If right.
You have a spear, you're going to kill a lion, maybe, if you have.
Right, but there's certain things that just, you know, a guy gets sick. So this is a more ridiculous Ritva. The Ritva is not saying it's not just hot and cold, it's anything that's in your control to limit. Meaning, if a person does any activity that he can stay safe from, so then the fact that he gets sick is, oh, Hashem said I should get sick. No, Hashem didn't say you should get sick. You decided to get sick because you weren't careful with your...
But ultimately, Hashem decided you're going to get sick and eat that.
Yeah.
No. No. Hashem didn't decide anything. You decided it.
But you
it's a very loaded comment, right?
But with everything, people do things
Good, we'll get to it. We're going to see. Rabbi Chonin's going to talk about that. Right? We're going to talk about Machlokes Rashi. The guy commits suicide. Was he destined to be killed, or he changed the outcome? Because again, Hashem wouldn't have allowed him to do it unless Hashem wanted it to happen. So we're going to come back to that hopefully in a few minutes. Now, I was waiting for someone to ask me the famous kasha, that the Gemara says, HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz M'Sinu Apachim. What's the other chazal? HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz M'Yir Shemayim. So Tosfos Anida asks this kasha number 5. Tosfos Anida says,
I think there'd be more than one thing in HaKol. Who says it's
got to be? It sounds like this is it. HaKol B'Dei Shemayim, you know, everything. Even though we'll see HaKol is really not so posh, it means everything. It's Machloikis Rishonim. So Tosfos has a kasha. Tosfos asks this kasha Anida. All the Rishonim ask this kasha. Number 5 is Nida. I forgot what Dafid is. Tezvav, Tezai, maybe. So Taisus has his kash. He goes on the Gemara. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyirshem. Everything is heavenly sent, except for yirshemayim. Yirshemayim is up to you. Fact Taisus. Ubeelu nayim is the Amar. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz misinim upachim. I think Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis what we're learning, that everything is heavenly sent except for cold and hot. So Taisus says very posh. Hacha ayri b'toil doisa adam ubemidoisav. Over here we're talking about how a person behaves. His conduct, his midas, that, you know, you're not born a certain way. You work on yourself and you become a certain way. Our Gemara is talking about not your midas, your personality, it's talking about what's going to happen to you. Like sicknesses, uparonius. Everything is heavenly decreed. And you can't get away from it. A person does not bump his toe. Unless it was destined for Hashem. Chutz! Says everything else is going to happen. You can run, but you can't hide. Except for tzinim upachim. Tzinim upachim, you can prevent. So therefore, says Taisvis, that the two sugyas are totally different topics. One topic is discussing your mentality, how you act, how you behave. That's up to you. It's not heavenly sent. You weren't born at tzaddik. No one's born at tzaddik. I know you read all the Gedolim books, make it sound like all these Gedolim were born tzaddikim. They weren't born at tzaddik. They worked on themselves.
Tzinim upachim is maybe things that you can see coming.
or the lashon is you could prevent. Yochel lishmar atzma. You could protect yourself from them.
Yeah, but how? Because again, like I said, so, you could always prevent everything. But some things are more.
Car comes straight at you. There's nothing you can do. That's
right.
Deer in headlights.
But if it's cold,
depends on the situation.
Right, but if it's cold, you're not going to die immediately. You can take measures.
Right.
You see it coming.
Again, the point is that it's preventable as much as a human can prevent. So this is heavy stuff. Heavy stuff here this morning.
My doctor told me that during COVID, he did not see a single cold. Because everybody was wearing masks.
That was so very low.
You really could.
That was very low flu season as well.
Exactly.
That's true.
Maybe everyone that had a cold in the flu, they said it was COVID.
That's possible too. They said, well, we'll talk about this more from a tshuva from the Halach HaMais, but there's a famous story with Abchatz
Abramsky. I didn't get a cold. I get one 50 times. Yeah, I didn't get a cold.
There's something. Abchatz Abramsky was very sickly by nature. He was just a sick person. And he was thrown into Siberia for 5 years. He was in Siberia.
I thought that was the reason he was sick.
No, he was sick before that. Okay. And then when he was in Siberia, obviously Siberia is a cold place, so he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu this Gemara. He said, my whole life I used to put on coats and I would dress up to stay warm. But here I can't. I throw it back to you, Hashem, now. He says, I can't control it. I'm throwing it back to you. And he said about himself, those 5 years in Siberia, he came out and never got sick. Now I'll show you later a marmakam I have on the sheet from the Chibina Rav, which seems to contradict the story, but maybe it's not such a kash. But in any case, that's an interesting story about that we could control these things. I remember when I was a bach in yeshiva, when I was in yeshiva, we had a dormitory across the street from the yeshiva. So like a good yeshiva boy, you think I wore a coat in the winter to go across the street? It's across the street, who needs a coat? I always got sick. Then I said, chacham, put on a coat. I probably learned ksubas that year. And I didn't get sick. Very simply, put on a coat, you don't get sick. Then everyone tells me, no, I know all these people that never wear coats, they never get sick. Okay, I don't know. I can't answer that. There are people that are different. But in any case, that's our Gemara. But there's a very important machlokes Rashi Tosfos in this Gemara. I know you're trying to figure out how can you have machlokes Rashi Tosfos in something like this, but there's machlokes Rashi Tosfos. What did Rashi say on the Gemara? Let's go back to Rashi number 2. Zok Rashi. Tzidim upachim, kor v'choyim. Cold and heat. Now you could say that maybe this Rashi is arguing with that Ritva. The Ritva said lav dafka. Could be Rashi agrees. He's just teaching the words of the Gemara. Tzidim upachim, cold and hot. Could be Rashi also agrees that you could prevent other things as well. Anything that's in your control, your exercise, diet, you stay away from those people that are sick. You won't get sick as well. But Rashi says something important over here. Rashi says bidei shemayim imboim peronius al adam. If bad things happen to a person, gzeres hamelachu. That's from Hashem. Sometimes it will come from negligence. What does that mean? And sometimes it won't. So the way Rashi learned the Gemara, Kol Bidei Shemayim is this. Everything else in the world, that's from Hashem. Chutz Mitzinim Upachim, which sometimes. Not Chutz Mitzinim Upachim, because Sinim Upachim are always from Hashem. No, Sinim Upachim depends. Sometimes you can't run away from it, and sometimes you could run away from it. That's how Rashi learned the Gemara. But everything else, besides Vitzinim Upachim, everything else is completely 100% from Hashem. So, Frek Taisis Akasha, Vahod number 6. Vahod Aminim Lo'ilam Al Yaman Odom Emakim Sakona. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that a person should not put himself in a dangerous situation. Frek Taisis, why not? If it's heavenly sent, what do you have to worry? The Manashach. If you weren't Nigzar in the last Rosh Hashanah, you're going to get hurt. So go wherever you want. Jump in the middle of the street. You won't get hit by the car. So Tosfos is assuming that when we say Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Upachim means every occurrence in your life is destined from Hashem.
We don't know life and death or arnasa.
At least physical ailments. I don't know about that. At least physical things. Right? Anything physical. You know? So the Gemara says you shouldn't walk by, don't put yourself in a Makom Sekana. Why not? If Hashem wants me to die, I'm going to die either way. If Hashem doesn't want me to die, nothing's going to happen. So our answer, classical, would be no, but there's something called Derech HaTeva. Derech HaTeva is if you jump in front of a bus. Bosses hurt people. Now you'll say, but if Hashem is running the world, and we believe that, of course.
Yeah, but
so that's Mamash Taisus' is kasha. Right. So Taisus says, the Gemara said, Lo'ilam al yamar od makam sakana alma yochel shomer asma and aparanius. You see, you can prevent it because what do I gain by not going to makam sakana? But if I'm destined, so then I'm destined. V'chein kir not. The Gemara says, don't walk under a weak wall, right? Because it may fall on you. So it tastes, well, what do I have to worry about the weak wall? If I was destined, I'm destined. If I'm not destined...
Just go into the Torah itself. You have to build a marker around
the... Right.
Why should you have
okay,
to
good. Well, right. Why do you bother?
You don't need a Gemara.
You don't know the destiny.
Right. But...
No, but you don't know the destiny.
But what am I going to gain by going a different path? If Hashem wants me to go, it's going to get me either way. Right? If everything is destined, so me going this path is no different than going this path. Something else will happen this path. I know this is like, a little out there stuff. It's not the typical deep stuff we talk about here on Sunday morning, but I guess before Yom Nerayim, it's always good to talk about it. So it says Tosfos, listen to this. Says Tosfos, not so. Anything negligence, you can prevent. That's not heavenly sent. A guy jumps in front of a bus and dies, that's not a raya that he was supposed to die. That's a raya that he's a fool. So Tais is because he could have prevented it. The havid, the havadai should be other homicides because a person can commit suicide. But things that come that are not controllable, that you can't control. So Tosis makes two dinim. Hakol bidei shemayim is not everything. Some things are controllable, some things are not controllable. Except tzinim upachim you always can control. But other things are not so pashut. Some things you can control, and some things you can't control. According to Rashi, Pashtus is everything is up to Hashem. According to Tais, it's not so. Some things you can control. Again, so let's say, for example, something like a cancer is not controllable. Like a person can't control. A Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a machla.
Are you looking at the immediate proximate cause or a 10-year lifestyle? Smoking cigarettes, four packs a day?
I'm saying anything that can cause it. So, it can so that's Yochel Lishma.
How far back do you look for the cause? Okay. Everything could potentially be
Right. So it's hard, right? There's so many different ailments that we have today that no one really knows where they come from. Healthy people get sick. So is that together what Tosis means over here? That in your chalishma.
Just for the shiva boy that got killed.
That's right.
It wasn't within this control.
Right. That's pashtus. That sounds like, and that's why these sugars get very tricky.
Yeah.
Whenever we read these gemaras, already our minds are thinking about different stories that happen, which we'll talk about. Tosis mamash asked this kasha, and we see good people that die young and bad people that die late. So how does that all work out? So come to it. But that's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So the Maram Shif points out very poshut that Tosfos' kasha is not such a strong kasha. What was Tosfos' kasha? If everything is heavenly sent, so why is it dangerous to... Oh, it's on the next side. Yeah. Did everyone have it? Okay. Yeah. So it's not stapled. I apologize. So Tosfos has a kasha. What was Tosfos' kasha? If everything is heavenly sent, so why is it? Why shouldn't I walk by a dangerous wall? Why shouldn't I go into danger? Nothing's going to happen to me. So the Maram Shif says very poshut. Says the Maram Shif number 7. He says, L'chayr v'adah b'day shemayim. Avada, everything is heavenly sent. Rak ayidei kein maskir na avinoysof. Says Ram Shif, you know what happens? The Gemara says, when you walk under a wall, Hashem says, let's take stock again. Let's review this guy. Does he deserve to be saved? Hashem says, yeah, he doesn't. That's why it's dangerous. Because when you put yourself in sakana, it requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge you again. And every time you get judged, it's not always going to be for your favor. So says the Ram Shif, Avada, it's not the pshat that you control your destiny. You don't control anything. So what's the difference between going to a shaky wall and a sturdy wall? Because when you got to the shaky wall, Hashem starts to run the clock. He says, okay, do you deserve to be saved? And very often the answer is no. So that's all B'dei Shemayim.
There is a reality to the danger of the shaky wall. But if Hashem really controls everything, there's no reality here. That's all an illusion, and there is no such thing as a shaky wall.
No,
but if there is a shaky wall, that means there is a teva that there's such a thing as a shaky wall.
There's definitely a shaky wall.
There's such a thing as a shaky wall that Hashem doesn't control. It's going to fall down.
There is definitely a thing called matzav of sakana. The question is, should I care about sakana? Sakana is reality.
Inside Rosh Hashanah, it should matter.
Okay, good. That's what we still have to talk about. We haven't yet got to that, how that works. Where does Rosh Hashanah work its way into
there's
this?
There's always a shaky
conversation.
Wall. The only question is, does it matter? It only matters if you go past it, and now Hashem...
And now Hashem has to deal with you and the shaky wall.
That means that there is such a thing as a shaky wall.
Yes, that's
there
is. That's a mitzvah.
If you're saying that everything is controlled 100% by Hashem, then it's not such a... Then there is no such thing.
No. What we mean by that is there's a reality, a physical reality of a dangerous situation. Now, this dangerous situation might not affect you if everything clears out. If you don't clear, then it could. Now, you'll only know that because Hashem will judge you in that situation. But Rabbi Chanan in Kovitz Ma'amorim has a very deep piece over here. Rabbi Chanan on this Tosfos. Right? We can even find Rabbi Chanan on the Sugya. Rabbi Chanan writes like this, number 8. He says, what did Tosfos say? Tosfos says that one of Tosfos' rayas were, you control your own destiny. Because a person can commit suicide. This is always the old fundamental question. A person commits suicide. Is the pshat that he was destined to die? Or you have Bechira and you can change and you can do what you want. So says Rabbi Chanan, Umashikosav Devade Shibiyodel Hamas Atzmoi. Tosfos proves it from the fact that a person can commit suicide. Luli Devrei Mayef Shalom. It says Rabbi Chanan, I would kindly disagree with Tosfos. The ain't shum chiluk ben Atzmoi l'acher. There's no difference between a person committing suicide and a person being shot. Now, how does that make sense? Says Rabbi Chanan, the kimoy shein bicholti laharug adam acher. You cannot kill another person elam ki nigzer al pleni shiyarek, unless there's a decree that this person should die. Unbelievable. Says Rabbi Chanan, you cannot kill someone and you cannot even kill yourself unless both parties had a gzeira on their head. This is the old question. Why is a murderer ever chayiv misa? What did he do wrong? He's just doing Hashem's will. The old kasha of machlokes Rambam and Ravid. Why are the Mitzrayim held accountable? Why are the Nazis so bad? They were just doing ratzon Hashem. Says the umekomakam ratzei chayiv misa. V'zeh loshen Ramban parashas lech lecha. Says in the pasuk ki gei yezerecha. Says the Ramban v'da. V'ahovin ki yoish shenechta v'nechtam b'Rosh Hashanah l'hariga. A person who's decided on Rosh Hashanah that he's going to die. Lo yinake haliste mahorga. We are not going to give let off. Make innocent the ones who killed him. Ba'avor sha'asam ashen igzalov, because they only did what Hashem wanted. Hu rasha ba'avoy neyomos v'domo miyad ha'retzeach givokash. Ad kanosh. Now the Ramban doesn't explain why. The Ramban just says that even though a person dies, and he was supposed to die, it was on his head, but the murderer does not get freed. Shalos, why?
Because he deserved to die.
So the answer is, why were you chosen as the shliach? That's the classical answer. Why were you chosen? If you were chosen as a shliach, it's because you're not Nishkan Gerson Tzadik. Hashem chose you. I mean, this guy's going to die either way. And he's, you know, this is...
How did he become a Russia? Because he did something yesterday, right, and the day before.
Right.
And the year
Who's
before.
The he? The murderer or the victim?
The Russia. But all of those things were only as a shliach of Hashem. All the things that he did...
That's only Chvei the slave. Regular person has a right to choose to do good or bad. That's Bechira. The fact that he goes, meaning Bechira doesn't extend
so
to affect.
Just say, because
Bechira can't, because Bechira can't affect someone else. I mean, my Bechira can't affect what I do to you. My Bechira affects what I do to me.
You mean just because I didn't daven properly today, so that's why I'm murdering the guy tomorrow. Because I'm a Russia, because I didn't daven properly.
Right.
That didn't affect him, so therefore I'm going to be the one who murders him.
Right, tomorrow. Because he has to die. Hashem decided
not
he has
to. I did something bad to somebody, because I stole from somebody, because I took his money, but he was supposed to be destined to have it.
That's correct.
All of those bad things I did, Beirat on the Chaber, don't count into my rishus that makes me the murderer today, that I'm the chosen agent of Hashem.
Correct.
Only because I didn't concentrate properly.
No. Any affair that you did. Any affair that you decide to consciously do.
No, but all of those things were all. As a plan,
because he was supposed
Hashem to use me as an agent.
Oh, exactly.
I'm already a Russia from where?
No, slow down. One second. Go back a step. You're arguing that you're right. Meaning, if I do a rishis to Shimon, it's because Shimon was deserved to have that rishis done to him.
So, correct. Yesterday also, and right. The day before, so it's, when I did smaller things that I finally built up and became so bad that I'm
no,
a murderer.
Not necessarily.
So, but all of those things were only, again, things that Hashem used me as an agent to do bad things. So I never, how did I become?
No, that's not necessarily true. When I decided to rip off Shimon, that was a conscious decision that I made. That made me bad.
So why do I have to explain my murder by what I did yesterday with Shimon? I murdered him now, so I deserve to be killed because I decided to murder him. Not because Hashem made me.
But because the way Hashem runs the world, everything is connected.
But I'm saying, if you can explain somebody else, right, ripping off.
Because Shimon could have lost money somehow. Right, the IRS could have taken Shimon's money and said, I took Shimon's money.
So that's the point. So you're explaining away what I did by saying, I was only chosen by Hashem to be the instrument of this person's death because I pre-deserved to be dead because I did some other things. But all those other things I did also were only part of the same play that we're all acting in. We're all
not all of them. Not all of them. Not all of them. Not everything. Not everything. I don't think everything. Not everything is like that. I mean, sometimes you did a ma'aserishus. Sometimes you did a ma'aserishus that affects someone else. Sometimes the ma'aserishus could affect him, and sometimes it can't. I guess it might depend on what you did.
So breaking it down, only Beinarum Lamachom is what makes me a Russia. Everything I did Beinarum Lachaveru for my whole life, from the time I was 1 year old till now, is only because Hashem made me do it because I did something
bad. No. You made a conscious decision to do something wrong. That's bad.
You decided to rip somebody
That's
off.
Bad. That's bad. So now you're a Russian.
I didn't decide to rip. Hashem gave me the idea. Because I had to be punished because somebody did
not saying
work,
that.
This is a good conversation. I don't want to end it because it's what to talk about. If I don't get home on time, I'm going to be dead. So yeah.
He's a killer or your choice?
That's my choice. I'm going to blame it on him. What?
He's a killer or he's a murderer?
The killer.
You won't be the only one that plays
things up.
He kills on purpose. He takes a shotgun and goes to the guy's house and shoots him. But the point is, that guy was destined to be killed. Now, you weren't necessarily the guy that had to do it. You didn't have to be the guy to do it. So that's what Bochanan's side over here. So Dr. Bochanan, he explains. So Dr. Bochanan, a person who commits suicide. He says, the Vade Nigzralov Rosh Hashanah Shiyarig. Unbelievable. Dim Loikein Loyal Yochob Yodi Lahargis Atzmai. This mamash takes away a big element of bechira. I mean, you could not control your own destiny unless Hashem wanted it to be. Says Rabbi Chanan, bringing it back to suicide. Do you know why you're not allowed to put yourself in makam sakana? Says Rabbi Chanan, "Kemoish asal am rachem v'akam sakana." Why can I put other people in sakana? The ancient hevdel ben atzmoi lach. Says Rabbi Chanan, "Moyridik yisoid." He says, putting yourself in danger or killing oneself is the same thing as doing it to someone else. It means that you were destined for it to happen, because if not, it wouldn't have happened. But Rabbi Chanan doesn't buy into the fact that there's you killing someone and you killing yourself. He thinks they're the same. Sometimes the same stats. It would have never happened unless Hashem decided it should happen.
My Bechira could override
Hashem's
decision.
That's what Rabbi Chanan is saying. My Bechira is not overriding it. My Bechira to do or not to do is connected very much to other people's life also.
Okay. What's his position on Makam Sakana?
So his point is that putting yourself in Makam Sakana would be the same thing as trying to commit suicide. You shouldn't do it. Because it's possible, we don't know what was nigzar on us in Rosh Hashanah. And the same way it was possible it was nigzar that we should die, then we shouldn't put ourselves in such a situation.
It won't help in the end, because if Hashem, if it was nigzar, it's going to happen anyway.
Right, but it's the same way you're still not allowed to do it, because you don't know. Now, just to make things more complicated, so we know there's four Mises Bezdin. So the Gemara says, Dala Mises Bezdin, we're not bottled. What about Malchus? Can a person get beaten up today and argue that was a form of Malchus from Bezdin? So the Gilyan Ashah says yes. He says, Din Malchus loy botlo. Just like the Gemara says, Din Dalamis loy botlo, Din Malchus loy botlo. Now let's take it one more step further. What's another punishment? Gullus. Is it possible to say that a person can get Gullus from Zman Azeh? So if you look in the Sefer Lakute, Basel Lakute from the Sefer, from the Imre Shefer. What? Gullus means a person kills accidentally, so he has to run to Ir Miklat. So we don't have Eremit Klik today, which we'll talk about in a second. Why don't we?
These are all relevant because...
No, these are relevant because the Gemara has a very strong comment that even though there's no Mises Bezdin, a person will still get killed through other means in the place of Mises Bezdin. So I want to know, what about Malchus, and I want to know, what about Gullus? So he writes over here, he says, Ma'ir Shigam din Gullus loy botl. Umishin is chayv Gullus HaKadosh Baruch Hu metalta loy mimakim lamakim. V'nechshav loy tiltul le Gullus. Says the Sefer that if a person jumps around a lot, he moves to five different communities, that might be a chelik of Golos. Hashem decided he has to jump around a lot. He goes here and he goes here, he goes there. It might be for a reason.
So if you're a rabbi, you're in chinuch, that's a Golos.
So Golos usually means you stay in one place. Okay, again, obviously.
Also, how's that a punishment? It protects you from the road.
Yeah, but it's still not an enjoyable situation.
True, but meaning, have the road aid.
Well, I would argue that the similarity is over here that you don't have any complacency. You're always moving. You don't have a place.
Right,
you got to start again. You have a 3-year contract and it's up, and the board doesn't rehire you. That's a pain. You got to go somewhere else. Or like the Havdil, baseball players. What I mean, a lot of baseball players. A lot of baseball players jump around. You see these baseball players? They have these. They jump around from one city to the next city. Okay, so they might be getting gullus before they did wrong. But he has a very geshmaka raya. Listen to this raya next time we read the Chumash. It says, after the time of the Mesa Midrash, it's not in the gear. So he says, you see, it is practical. There is some level of galus, even Mizman. So people jump around, they move around, it might be galus. Now, I guess a person should feel. A person, I guess, should look at it as an einish instead of just being frustrated at the situation. Maybe. It's always a good idea, right?
We're not talking about somebody who owns five homes in five different places.
Right, no. He jumps around.
What about going literal? L'dor sechem usually means that it's a mitzvah that's kept, no matter what.
L'doris.
Yeah, so maybe it should be even with that.
Oh, so one second. So why don't we have gullus today?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't we have gullus? Why shouldn't we have Irmikla today?
Right.
Build a city somewhere. Right? Right? Ir Miklat is supposed to sit with the Levium and learn a whole day.
Certainly if you have control of Eretz Yisrael, which we do. So
not a bad setup. Right, not a bad setup. So let's
set up a good setup.
Right, why can't you have it? So let's go back. So why don't we have Ir Miklat today? So look at the Rambam. Zok the Rambam. Reitzeach shenigmar dina legal. So Reitzeach that had a psak that he's supposed to be go to Gullus, but v'loy ha'yisham kohen gadol. There was no kohen gadol because we know the condition is he stays until Moyes kohen gadol. What happens is no kohen gadol. Zok the Rambam va'ahoyreik, or even better, ahoyreik kohen gadol. The guy kills the kohen gadol. V'loy ha'yisham kohen gadol lach, and there's no replacement yet. Zok the Rambam v'kohen gadol shahoyreik. Let's say the kohen gadol kills. V'loy ha'yisham kohen gadol lach. Hare elu goylin. They all go. Then Yoitzim Ir Miklat Lom, they don't come out. So what do you see from the Rambam? Don't try to tell me the reason why there's no Ir Miklat today is because there's no Kohen Gadol. You don't need a Kohen Gadol. You just need an Ir Miklat. So the Kasha is even stronger now. So why don't we have an Ir Miklat today? People, at Nebuch, there are stories of people that do things accidentally. They're not bad people. So why don't we have to go to Ir Miklat?
You need a din in Rode
because you don't have to allow a Rode now.
Don't you need then the din of Rodev to be in effect?
So why can't it be in effect?
Because you need that too.
Well, you might have a problem today of din of Machlokes Adina. Right. You might have a problem with the government getting involved. But so. Right.
I don't know
what I'm saying.
The relatives could want it.
So if you look at Chosh Mishpa, the Shulchan Aruch talks about this. Shulchan Aruch writes in Chosh Mishpa, it's in Tov Chofei, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol Chai V'Mises Bezdim Is Manazeh Ein B'Yodeinu L'Hal Koi Soi L'Hal Goloi Soi L'Hor Goi. We can't do that today. We cannot force you, we can't give you Malkus, we can't put you in Gullis, we can't kill, Oi L'Choftoi, we can't hit. El Manadin, I said, we put people in Chayrim. U'mavdilan Oistim in Akohol, and this was a very typical thing, done for very, very many, many years in Klal Yisrael's history. They put people in Chayrim, they excommunicate. Mm-hmm. Right, this was done even up till not so long ago. Today it's not so popular. But the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, you can't give gullus. Why not? So the Goyin writes in number 15, She'ein lonu are miklot. Not because we don't have a Kohen Gadol, because we don't have an Eir Miklot. We don't have an Eir Miklot. So therefore, since we don't have an Eir Miklot, Dr. Goyin, that's why we don't have gullus.
The question, why don't we set one up?
Right, so I guess the point is we don't have the authority to set one up. I mean, back then the case was there was an Eir Miklot without a Kohen Gadol. So we said, oh, because we have no Kohen Gadol today. But you see, from the Rami, we don't need a Kohen Gadol.
At the time of the Goyin, there was no control of Eretz Yisrael. But now we have control of
which time?
Time of the Goyin. He had no control. We had no control of
it. Right, right. There was no, well, what does he mean by Ein Lanu Eir Miklot? Because there's a technical problem? We don't control the...
Right.
Does that mean...
Ein
right. The Pasha is you don't need official, smicha on the land to make it into an Eir Miklot. And Moshe Rabbeinu designated the land. Right? So maybe we can go bring back the Eir Miklot. But look at this tshuva from the Chabina Rav. And we've spoken in the past about the Chabina Rav, one of the great Gedolim who survived the war. He didn't really like to be called the Chabina Rav because he didn't want to be a Rav. He wanted to learn his whole life, and his wife had a business that she got supported. She supported him.
Wasn't
but then
a pharmacist?
What?
Wasn't he a pharmacist?
The Chabina?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Chabina Rav.
Went to barrel wine.
Really? Wow. Chabina Rav was a goyin. He was one of those just Eloisha people. So his wife ended up, the business tanked, so he had to take a position, so he became the Rav of Chabin, which was in Europe.
What years?
This was a pre-Holocaust. And then he survived the Holocaust, he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the big Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, post the Holocaust. So he wrote the Sefer called David Misharm. So he has a Shaila, which I like, because it connects to the Gemara, and it also connects to what we learned in Reb Elazar Demila. So it's a little bit of a chazar for everyone. So he says like this. He says, Gemara, he has the following shah. Someone asked him a shayla. Be'isha shahasa im ba'al harishin. A lady was married to a man, 2 years. The older men who bought him, they had children. Umeis ala machla, Mr. Bekes. And he got sick from a sickness, a catchy sickness. She's pashtasham, chmon atzlan. Va'achar misas ba'ilo, oska b'masa umatin. V'spanasam mizeh. Then after her husband died, she got herself a job. She married another man. They lived together. Second marriage lasted 11 years. The older men who bought him, in the second war, the last war, huglu l'Russia. He got sent to Russia. There was a lot of hunger. Habal, and he got cold. And then he died 2 days after, I guess, being exposed to the cold, he died. And according to one of the testimonials there, most people that got the sickness died because their body was very weak. Now she wants to get married. What's the shayla? She a katlonis. We spoke about katlonis at length. We did this in the 19th parak. She lost two husbands. So the first husband died from some form of an infection. And the second husband died from exposure and all this other. So is she considered a katlonis? So was it Shabina Rav's answer? So the Chabina on the next column, Vichashafti Litzade Ktsas. Kivin the Habal Hashain hit stunning. The second husband died from cold. Ukiadua Haya Sham Hakar Godal Bukhaif was very cold in Siberia. Imkin Fimashkasav Dimavobi Tyson Subis and Sinal Pachim Oilam. Ayavoya love Oinis. He's mom's using our Tysis. According to Tysis, Sinimu Pachim is all in your control. Now, I don't know how it's your control in Siberia. Yeah, that's a stick of my cash on the story over here. Imkin Mashit Stanin Boide Garomas Atzmoy. I don't know how that makes sense. Im Kain, so he wants to tie in a very gavaldic, so says it should be Nerov, since that's the case. So whenever there's a person who causes his own death, we don't say she's a katlonis. If you remember when we learned the Gemara, katlonis, we spent a lot of weeks on it. Again, it was in Zoom, so nothing really counts when you learn things in Zoom. But we spent a lot of time trying to figure out when someone becomes a katlonis. So Zakta should be Nerov, that since over here it was up to him to control, she's not a katlonis. Now I would argue, how is that up to him? Guys in Siberia, they're not exactly giving out coats and scarves in Siberia, but that's what the Chibina Rav says.
Maybe he's just trying to be to the woman to give her a chance to be able to get married.
Yeah, but I don't know how that fits with our topic. It's not right. He has other. He has
preventable theoretically.
I guess. I guess maybe that you're going to have to say that theoretically that's something that is preventable. I don't know. So there's a gevaldik tshuva of Nechsam Sofer. Nechsam Sofer was asked the following question, which again is comes from our sugya. The Gemara says that that Dalamis is Bezdin Le'Batl, which means according to the Gemara, if a person dies from any one of the descriptions in the Gemara, that means he was heavenly sent because he did something wrong. So the Chevre Kedisha asked the Chassam Sofer, so there was a story about a guy who got murdered. A guy got shot by a guy. So they don't want to bury him in the Jewish cemetery because that means he was Mechoyev and Bezdin. And the Gemara says that any one of these Mises that were supposed to happen, Hashem makes it work a different way. So the Chevre Kedisha came to the Chassam Sofer with a shayla. They said, what do we do? How do we bury this guy in the cemetery? It's clear from the Gemara that he was supposed to die in Mises Bezdin. The Gemara says people that die in Mises Bezdin don't get buried in the same cemetery.
Did he say that happened to another mekuzel
also? So this is a very, very loaded question because Nebuchadnezzar happens all the time. People die from everything on the Gemara's list happens all the time.
It doesn't mean he has to.
Very good.
Everybody died in the Nazis.
So that's the Chassam Sofer's answer. The Gemara didn't say everyone who dies from these is because of Chayiv Misa. It's a beautiful dig in the Gemara. Let's read it inside. Zakta Chassam Sofer. B'yayim Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pasha Shaiftim, not even too far off. Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph, anyone know what country year that is? Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph?
110 years ago.
200 years ago.
Okay, so it takes us to the early 1800s. That's when the Chassam Sofer was big. He writes over here, Shiloh, Hevi Lofonov Kan Ish Kodesh! A holy man, Hanerag bidei Akum Retzech, he was killed by Goyish murderers. Venikve bi Imam Shachar, he was burnt. He was buried the Sunday afterwards. Shmoy David Bri Shachalas. Okay, fine. Hashem Yinkam Doma. I don't know who he is, but apparently he was a good Jew. Vahayoyis kizik neviroy shechev kedish hayibushuk pest, right? Buddha and Pest, two separate cities, right? Vanisharim poi enem bikiyim b'minhagei hachev kedisha. And those people that were left to run the Chevek Kedisha weren't so holding. I came bo v'shaluna, they asked me, im l'kovei b'kivri avoysov, o l'yachil l'mokim shem kovei b'fnei atzmi. What do we do with him? They came to the Chassam Sofer. The Chevek Kedisha was on vacation, summertime, Pasha Shoiftim. They didn't know what to do, right? It's amazing. The Chevek Kedisha, their area of expertise is not what your typical rabbi knows. Most rabbinim don't deal with these things. They just go straight to the Chevek Kedisha. And they have a special, special job. But in any case, so they asked the Chassam Sofer what to do. Ki shamu, I mean, we heard it says, din dala mises loy batlu. V'amachuyiv mises bezin, in kevi noise, b'kevi avoysov. That's a shtickle Torah. So he writes, "V'nei chafashti chofish mechipush b'sifir rishonim." He says, "And I looked, I researched. Today you could put into the Yitzchak Chachma search, but the Chassam Sofer researched in his mind. Rishonim v'shulchan aruch v'lematzasim zemim. I found no one makes such a comment. Mikom makam amati emor mo yikan balei achavik kedisha lo yisi moichem minhagim." He says, "If the Chavik Kedisha were here, I would never say anything against the Chavik Kedisha. They have a tradition. Whatever the Chavik Kedisha does, they do." But I'm going to tell you now, because they're not here, I'm going to tell you what I hold. I hold they should get buried with everyone else. What do you do with the Gemara? Zok Techsam Sofer, beautiful. And what you guys are claiming, you have no validity. Why? If the Gemara would have said, every person that gets killed by the government is a rider, he's Mechayiv Misa. Also, Yisrael Mekal called Mishenerik B'Degoyim, who Mechayim Mises Bezdin. The Rav Akiva L'Chaver V'Arugi Elul Michael Mem. What are you going to do all the Gedolim that were murdered? Rav Akiva, the Asarugi Malchus. Zoktem Avah Chazal Nizaru B'Divrim. Chazal were very careful. V'Amru Mishen is Chayiv Sayif Nimsal Malchus. Avah Loi Kol Mishen Nimsal Malchus is Chayiv Sayif. Beautiful. Says the Sefer, what a gevald gediyik. Not everyone that's Mechayiv Mises Bezdin ends up getting killed by someone, but someone that is Chayiv Sayif is going to end up by the Malchus. He says it definitely doesn't fit if the person was murdered by someone that had a desire to kill. So it goes back to being a typical person. Typical people have chazaka that they're good people, and therefore I say you got to bury me in the relative.
That's
what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying that you have no reason to suspect. And again, this is an interesting line. A murderer that's wanted to kill him. Why exactly does that change things? I'm not sure, but that's very applicable to all the tsars and kleis. Well, you have Arabs and the Nazis and all the people that want to kill us. So that definitely fit in that criteria. Last shtickle of the sugya, and then we're going to be done. And Mitzvah next week, we'll get back to your regular programming of Lomdas, hopefully. Taisus has a gevaldik kasha. Frek Taisus. Avo kosher, number 18. The chazinan kam avaronim v'oivde avodis kachom shemesim al mitasim. Frek Taisus, I don't get this whole gemara. The gemara said, Dalamis is like bottle. If a person does an aveira, he's going to get his punishment through another means. Fatah is just not true. We see a lot of people that live really bad lives and they die at a nice, old, ripe age in their bed. What happened to the Gemara? This is like, you know, the typical question. Sadik Varala. So Taisa's answer is, V'yashloima da'idei tshuva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekel. They do tshuva. And sometimes Hashem Amish wipes the whole thing clean. Or maybe they have some merit. They did some tzedakah, they did some good things in their life. And they're not going to get taken away in their lifetime. Unbelievable. So when you see people that are bad in Russia, so Taisa says that's not the pshat that they were forgotten. They either did tshuva. Good. So let's see. So if you turn to the next page, the Beis Yaakov, the Nesivus. The Nesivus asked the Kasha still. He says, I don't get it. The kasha, the adayin chazinon, kam avayonim, meisim amitasim, beloy tshuva. Taisa doesn't answer anything. Taisa says, well, if you see a guy who dies at 95, and you thought he was a Rosh, well, maybe deep down he wasn't. In fact, the Nesivus, I've seen Rishoyim from the day to the end, and they still died at 95.
I know when I see it.
What's going on over here? What's the pshat? It still doesn't seem to fit. So he comes up with a whole different pshat. He says, no. He says, l'chein nifl is daiti lehepach. If a Rasha did tshuva, the royim lis chaper boisim misa. Now he's roi to get a kapara from the misa. They didn't dial misa like batlu. That's taka a favor. If a person gets killed in this world, it's a favor because then he'll be able to be clean for the next world. Avul rishayim gemurim zaktan sivis. You know why you see old rishayim? Because they're so far gone, they don't deserve the kapara in this world. Avul rishayim gemurim sheinam oisim tshuva mikam oisim boilam haba. They're going to enjoy this world, but they're going to get it so bad in the next world.
And we
won't even know about it. 100%. But the Marsha makes this observation. The Marsha says, the same way the good Taisa said, I know a lot of people that are bad, and they live a long life. Says the Marsha, V'chein yishlema behepuch, the chazin and kama tzadikim gemurim, kama Rabbi Akiva. But he was murdered still. He would have, I don't know how much longer he would have lived, right? Right? So he says, what's the pshat? You're going to have to say when the suffering that they occurred in this world was to give them even a pure olam haba. If you look over in the Sefer Adar Saliyah, which is usually from the Vilna Gaon, this is written by Rafala Emmanuel. I don't know exactly when he lived, but he has an interesting svara, and this is definitely a good way to end the shir.
Even more interesting is he took the name of the gun.
Right, the sefer. So he writes, "Vim ein onu roim kain." We don't see it. We don't see that people die from the averus that they supposedly did. Me'ezit tam k'mashikasav ataisvis yeloi king gilgal acher. He says, "Well, maybe they're a gilgal." Okay, this is way beyond my pay scale. So I don't know what any of this means. He says, "Olachin ein l'tmuah me'ezit tzadikim anoydim lano tzadikim gemurim vaday." We don't know. Don't be in the spa when you see tzaddikim that seem to be tzaddikim that vaday. V'yachi anu roim oise meisim be'echem yisaleidu. Ki ma'asha osu bil gilgul ache goyim lem shiyu noilodim tachas mazol shetzvichem lomas b'misazu. Yeah, I have no idea what that means. I don't know. I'm trying to explain it. But we'll end off with Tyson Sanhedrin. Tyson has the same kasha. V'im toim eva chazin and kama koifrim be'ikar. The meisim kedarkum. V'yishloim edu z'chuz mila toile. The z'chuz mila protects them. Now, I guess he's assuming they had a milah. He's assuming they have a milah. The schar mitzvah she also mishtamen, and the schar mitzvah that they do also helps. And you never know. Right, so you go back to Marsha that this is his benefit. So again, these I guess is a good hachonah for Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. But Belina, the next week we'll get back to the sugya at hand.
What would you call this as hashkafish here? How would you label this exactly?
Sadik Varalai, I guess.
1965.
Thank you.